Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We're going to continue in our series, It's Not the Problem, But the Faith. And so it is, we carry burdens in life. God is not so much concerned with the problem, He's concerned with our faith. That's the problem. Faith is essential to a successful spiritual life. We are saved by faith in the shed blood, the work of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, we are to live by faith. Faith. Faith for salvation. Faith in daily living. Faith. If we had as much faith in God as we do in the chair you're sitting in, you'd never worry again. How many of you are worried about your chair? You're not, so you are at total peace, right? Because you totally believe in that chair that it's not going to let you fall. And yet in our frailty, how often do we feel that God's going to let us down? We take our problems to God, and God wants us to expect an answer. But too often the obstacles of life, our doubts and fears, hinder our expectations that God will truly answer. Now, have you figured this out too? He often does not answer the way we expect Him to. And we have to trust, knowing that He always does what's right, what's best. And even when we don't understand, we trust that God is doing the best for us. We have considered the woman of Canaan, we have considered the Roman centurion, and we have considered others in our study, Eleazar, Moses, Hannah, Elijah, Elisha, David, Hezekiah, the disciples, the early Christians. We considered their prayers and how God answered. And God answers your prayers, and you would do well to remember that. Think back on the times you've prayed for something and God showed His hand. You would do well to remember that so that in the future, okay, now wait a minute, and you remember that situation and build on it, and your faith will grow. Well, today we're going to consider no need to fight. There are some times in this world God is going to allow the circumstances to be such that we have got to do some pretty good work for Him to bring to pass what He wants. But there are other times, as we're going to consider today, we don't have to do anything. He chooses in His divine will to say, stand there and watch what I'm going to do. How about when Israel escaped from the Egyptian army? They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and under the leadership of Moses, they were led by God to the edge of the Red Sea, and there they were between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to the strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. They didn't have to do anything to destroy the Egyptian army. That sea opened up, and they walked through on dry land. And the Egyptian army followed, and God says, you're done. And sometimes God works in our life when we don't have to do anything to destroy the enemy. All they had to do was have the faith that those two walls of water weren't going to collapse on them. Wouldn't that be amazing? In a way, I hope God plays that for us in heaven. I want to imagine what it would be like. I probably wouldn't touch it. I'd be afraid I'd shatter something. It would all come tumbling down, but I don't know. How about when the children of Israel entered the promised land and they marched around the city of Jericho? And when the people shouted, when the priests blew the trumpets, it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down. They didn't have to knock the wall down. God knocked it down. God chose to do that. How about when the children of Israel were confronted by the Assyrians? a people known for their incredible cruelty. Wicked, godless people. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000 were dead by an angel. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went, returned, dwelt at Nineveh. They didn't have to do anything. God did it. And I want us to remember that sometimes God is going to let us just stand back and watch. Now, that doesn't mean we neglect our spirituality. We'll see that in this study today. When you are in a trial, many times you look at it and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Give God time to show you what to do. Too often we want to take the bull by the horns and make a mess of things. Now, there is a time you know what you need to do, but when you don't know and you have prayed and God has not clearly given you direction, that's the answer. I haven't told you to do anything. We have trouble accepting that. Well, I prayed and God hasn't told me anything. Well, no, He did. He said, don't do anything. Wait. Sometimes God will show you to do things, and sometimes you'll watch a problem dissolve before you. He took care of it. So it is, sometimes we need to fight, sometimes we need to watch. Well, in our story, we're going to look at a situation where Israel did not need to fight. The context is that Israel is divided into two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is called Israel, the southern kingdom is called Judah. God is not pleased with the northern kingdom. They go to battle, and Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern kingdom, joined them. He shouldn't have. In that battle, Ahab, the king of Israel, died, and Jehoshaphat survived. He went back to Jerusalem, and God gave him a time of peace. And I want you to consider this now. He's got this incredible time of peace. We love peace. And one day he gets the news, there's a mighty army coming at you. And how many times in our lives, we get up in the morning, we have our cup of coffee, and somehow, some way, we find out, I got a real problem. The key verse for our study, as we look at all those verses, is going to be chapter 20, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Have you ever had a problem and you absolutely say, I have no idea how to handle this mighty problem? But God does. And we turn our eyes upon Him, and that's all you can do. Lord, in my flesh, I am completely helpless, earthly speaking. And with God, we have all hope. We're going to see a simple outline in this passage. The problem is stated in verses 1 and 2. In 3 through 13, they seek God. In 14 to 17, they have the assurance of victory. In 18 through 21, they're thankful. And in 22 to 25, the enemy is defeated. And more comes to their blessing. Let us begin at the first verse. It came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is En-Gedi. God knew they were coming. God knows our problems are coming. It's a surprise to us. It's not a surprise to God. And He is dwelling in peace, and all of a sudden a messenger comes and says, there is this great army coming. Did you know God is in control of your enemies? And God can stop them. in the twinkling of an eye, or he can move them in the twinkling of an eye. You read the book of Judges, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of. How did he do that? There are times our lack of attendance to spirituality will get us into trouble, and God does that, because you know what the children of Israel did when they were brought into bondage? They cried unto the Lord. What is the reason that these armies are coming against Judah? We really don't know. I have some speculations, but the great truth is we fundamentally don't know. And there are going to be times in your life you're not going to understand why this problem came your way. But we know this, God's in control. I have learned this when going through trials. Don't spend all your time trying to figure out why you've sinned and why God's punishing you. That might not be the reason for the trial. He might want others to see your reaction, because he knows you will have such faith in him, they'll learn to have faith like you do. Or maybe that problem is going to drive you to do something that you would have not normally done. It doesn't mean you were wrong. Many years ago, I had a guy come to me about his job. Said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, we'll pray about it, see how it goes. He came in Wednesday night. He said, God answered my prayer. I got fired. True story. And he laughed. He said, I asked God for an answer. I got an answer. Jehoshaphat is dwelling in Jerusalem, and the enemies are at En Gedi. That is about 35 miles south of Jerusalem. And he finds out there is this mighty army 35 miles away. They didn't have communication like we do. There's not much time for Jehoshaphat to respond, but he did the best thing that he could, and that was he called on God. Sometimes your prayer is going to be, oh God, and I don't mean that in a vain sense. I mean that in a very sincere sense. Dear God! And he knows all of the intensity surrounding those two words. Oh, God. And he does bless and answer. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set him to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He feared. I think we can all relate to that, right? When you hear that there's a big problem, we tend to have a tendency to fear. And it would certainly be a natural reaction of invading armies. He set himself to seek the Lord. He also engaged the nation in a fast. He feared, and what did he do? He drew closer to God immediately. And he encouraged many other people. Come on, let's all get closer to God. Probably is one of the big reasons why God allowed this to happen, to draw them closer to him. There's no apparent cause. We have not done anything. And God doesn't even blame them for anything. Quote, you see now this man has normal reaction. He's afraid. He goes to God in prayer and sends word out to his people to join him in fasting and prayer. Look at verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. Quoting again, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. The towns of Judah hastened to Jerusalem. I'll bet they did. The whole nation became as the heart of one man. When the concourse assembled under circumstances so touching, so terrible, Jehoshaphat the king stood in the midst of his people in the house of the Lord before the new court and offered the following sublime appeal to heaven. And here it is at verse 6, we have this prayer. Verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein by thy name, saying, If when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Folks, don't be afraid to remind God of his promises and claim them. You promised you would hear my prayer, and I need help. Verse 10, and now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Now, there were battles as Israel was leaving Egypt and heading on their wilderness wanderings up to the promised land. And God said, no, you're not going to destroy those three peoples. And their lives were spared. And here they are. This is how they reward Israel. And that's what he's saying. Lord God, we spared them by your word. And this is how they repay us. 11. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I think we can all relate to this. Do you wake up sometimes in the middle of the night troubled? Why is it in the dark it seems so bad? And Lord God, I have no strength, and I just can't turn off the brain. Did you know that hopeless situations are a fertile ground for God to demonstrate his power, his grace, and his willingness to protect us in the time of need? And God does not share his glory with anyone. And in this, God will get all of the glory. Earthly thinking, we see hopeless situations. Heavenly thinking trusts God and sees victory. Right now, he is taking it to God because he says, earthly speaking, this is a virtual impossibility. There is no way we're going to stand against him. Now think about this. In the context, it wasn't all that long ago, he had just joined a battle with the northern kingdom. He has a ready army. And he is saying, there's no way my army is ready to take on these three armies. Now with God, it would win. Earthly speaking, it won't. And for some reason, God is not going to say, you take your standing army, go, I will make a mighty victory with them. I wonder here what he's thinking, but not for sure, but I do know the truth here that's being taught. He is going to show it's not your army that defended you. It's my hand. And sometimes I will work through your army. And sometimes I'm going to put your soldiers to the side because I want you to know where the real blessing comes from and the real victory. It comes from God. They have no idea what to do but look to God, which is the best thing they could do. They stood there. I love this next verse, verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Can you just picture this pitiable lot? Lord, we are on the literal verge of either death or slavery. They didn't come to have a picnic with us. And we don't know what to do, and our army is not going to defend us. And I have my children and my wife. I just want to go to work each day, and I want to provide for them. And you gave us this land. And the trials and the tribulations of this life are very real. And all Judas just stood there. Why even bother to sharpen your sword? What a pitiable sight. Quote, he professes his entire dependence upon God for deliverance. Though he had a great army on foot and well-disciplined, yet he said, we have no might against this great company, none without thee. None that we can expect anything from without thy special presence and blessing. None to boast of, none to trust to, but our eyes are upon thee. We reply upon thee, And from thee is all our expectation. The disease seems desperate. We know not what to do, are quite at a loss in a great strait. But this is a sovereign remedy. Our eyes are upon thee. An eye of acknowledgement and humble submission, an eye of faith and entire dependence, an eye of desire and hearty prayer, an eye of hope and patient expectation. In thee, O God, do we put our trust, our souls wait on thee. We were created from the very beginning to be dependent upon God, end of subject. No one was designed to be independent of God and be satisfactory in life. They may accomplish many things, but when time is no more, they will regret they did not depend upon God and His will. And characteristic of our God, He answers. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Aphath, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. They stood there. They didn't know, was God going to do what? And all of a sudden, this guy, I got it. Now, how did they know? How do they know this isn't some fraud standing up? We don't know. We know this, though. It was pretty compelling that they all believed and listened. God does make His will known. If you truly want truth, and you have a problem and you're asking for wisdom, God will make His way clear. Give Him time. Give Him time. And God knew exactly who this man was and who his lineage was. There was no mistake. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. Why didn't God answer through the king? He's the one who prayed. I don't know, but I know this. It's not a matter of who gets the glory. No, no, I want to have the answer. No, I want to have... Folks, we're all ready to die. It's no time for us now to worry about who gets the glory and reporting what God wants us to do. We don't need glory. And even the king didn't say, well, what, be quiet, God's going to talk through me. Jehoshaphat was quite willing to hear the word of this man. Let's not worry about who gets the credit, folks. Let's worry about doing God's will. And He blesses. Verse 15. And this man says, hearken, listen, pay attention, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Underline it. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Underline this. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand still. Can you do that? I can, but I'll bet your knees are going to be shaking like crazy. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. I really believe God is simply showing Israel, do you understand how much I'm on your side? And this is certainly demonstrating it. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And they won't have to do anything. All I have to do is show up. And God says He'll take care of the rest of it. Tremendous words of comfort from the Lord. And when God says to you, fear not, are you listening? Or are you dwelling in frustration and fear? We trust God for our eternal salvation, and we doubt that He'll take care of us today. So it is. They have been now given their instructions. The battle was too great for them, earthly speaking, but not for God. He could have allowed them to fight, but he chose to allow them stand there. Let me do it all. And nobody was complaining. How many times do we get ahead of God and we start to do things and make it worse? God says, would you just trust me? 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites, verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. I perceive that's the choir. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. That's interesting. He says prophets, but there was one that spoke. He says, I'm telling you, listen to all of them. Let's cover all our bases right now. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that ye should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. There was no time wasted in getting ready in the morning. Nobody had to be told to hurry up. It's interesting, Jehoshaphat did not tell them, follow me. He said, do what God said. In essence. It's not about me, it's about God. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. All you have to do is worship and praise me, and the battle will be won. Can you do that? Yeah. The battle is too great for you. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. Dare we underestimate the power of spirituality? Dare we question when it's written in the Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation? It's real. But we have to get busy, 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 busy. How many times do we just need to worship and watch what God will do? When they began to sing, the Lord set. We're singing. God's over there working. Now again, there are times we have to do things. And of course, we all have daily responsibilities, but we're talking about a special situation. And sometimes in that special situation, it's not us, it's all about God. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to destroy them. They're fighting each other. God made it that they turned their swords on each other, not on Israel. How did he do that? I don't know. That's not mine to know. It's mine to know that God can do that. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Well, they once came to join them and to attack Jerusalem. Now they're fighting each other. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Why? God. Lord God, there is no way. And God says, watch. Watch this. They're going to kill each other. Really? Did you know God can answer in some incredibly powerful ways? Would you have thought they would have killed each other? I wouldn't. Because they all had the mindset. What all of a sudden triggered in their brain to kill each other? Verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. Gone. The whole problem was taken care of. And what did they do? They walked down and they started to praise God and sing, and it was over. Are you carrying a burden that's so great you have no idea? Do not limit God. I don't know how he'll answer your prayers. But if he has to, he'll turn the enemy against each other. Verse 25. Now, they didn't ask for this, but watch what God does. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them the abundance, both riches and the dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days. God says, I'll tell you what, not only will I deliver you from this, I'm going to give you wealth you never thought about. They didn't ask for that. You see, in the midst of a trial, you do get your priorities in order. I don't want to be killed, and I don't want to be taken as a slave. And they would have been quite happy with that. And God says, can I please show you what a good God I am? Not only will I deliver you from that, I'm going to give you earthly blessings too, more than you can imagine. Is that not our God? Now, he doesn't promise that. But he does show us that sometimes he says, watch what else I can do. Can you not go down times in your life and you can think back of a tremendous trial and you're looking on the other side of it saying, whoa, look at what God did. And he wants the glory. The answer was not in morality. The answer was in spirituality. And there's a big difference, because who defines morality? But God defines spirituality. The answer was not in money, was not in Wall Street, was not in education. It was in God. They fasted, they assembled and prayed, they were unified, they praised, they worshiped, and God showed his hand mighty. Such is our God. He does fight for us, and we enjoy the victory. And then he gives us blessings we never even asked for. As we wrap up this little study, I want to go back to the very beginning of this passage. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass. Stop. We use expressions sometimes in English. Do we really stop and think about what we just said? It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, yea, though I live in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm only going through it. And how many times do things come in our life? They come just to pass. And there will come a time we're going to be on the other side of this trial. While that's coming at you and you haven't gotten to the other side yet, stop and think, how do you want to look back on your behavior when this is all over? Do you want to look back and say, I did my best to trust God, or I was a nervous wreck throwing temper tantrums, I was agitated with anybody that came near me? Think about it. Wait a minute. This will pass. Now, are there some situations in life where it might take till eternity till it passes? Yes. But not all. Sometimes we pass through something. Maybe the loss of a spouse, the loss of a child, will never get over until we get passed into eternity. But the truth is, it does pass. Our God looks down at sinful people seeking his face, and he says, I hear your prayer. Are you carrying a burden and you're praying thinking, but I'm such a louse, God can't answer mine? I believe you that you're a louse, because we're all louses, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if God doesn't answer the prayers of sinful people seeking his face, who's left? If God only blesses perfect people, he's unemployed. You're right. You've sinned. So have I. And you get on your knees in your closet and you say, here I am again. And Lord God, the daily problems I face, I struggle with. they're too much for me. You fight it. You show me. You guide me. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Christian, take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll show you what to do. Give him time.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.